Welcome to yet another episode of When a Guy Has a Really Fucked Gender. As always, I'm your host, Jolene. And I have with me today my friend Taylor, right? I always want to say Cody because that's in all your screen names, but your name is Taylor, right?
No, it is Cody.
Oh, okay.
The big backstory behind my name is Taylor. This is a whole thing. Taylor is my birth name.
Okay.
And when I was like, actually, I want to change my name, I was like, what if I was one of those bitches who goes by their middle name?
Okay.
So it's Taylor Cody Beck when it's on all of my artistic shit, but I'm Cody.
Okay.
Hi.
Cool.
Yeah. No worries.
How are you doing today?
Yeah, you're fucking dead naming me in the first minute of the podcast. Thanks, Jillian.
It's okay. Literally last week I had like a moment where I was like, wait, I assumed my guest's pronouns.
Oh no. Well, I'm fully in a phase of my life where like people will ask me my pronouns and I'll be like, oh, are we doing that?
Yeah. It's fun. So how would you describe your gender?
I feel like I transitioned from a horse girl to a gay jock.
Hell yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like whatever sort of nuances and valences that implies.
that's really interesting. Holy cow. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. I've also recently been describing myself as a political they-them. Because I if people ask me my pronouns, I will say they-them, but most of my friends he-him me at this point, and I'm like, this is fine.
Okay.
So it's like political lesbianism, but for being genderqueer.
I support that. That's extremely good.
Yeah, it's really, really good. I feel like everything that I have done transition-wise, but also just like everything that I sort of get into in life, I start doing ironically, and then at some point it becomes unironic. So that like leads to a lot of like very cancelable statements, such as I'm a political they them.
It's good though. It's good. We're here for that. We're here to capture that.
People love it.
What's the sort of, I don't know, what's your genesis as a trans person? Have you always been political they them, or?
Are you asking me what my story is? Are you asking me if I always knew,
yeah,
Jillian?
You always know. Were you like, you know, like a little 4-year-old being like, I want to be a boy?
No, I mean, I don't think I really knew that I wanted to be a boy until I was, like, already on testosterone. You know, I feel like I started doing things, and then I was like, I guess this is where I'm ending up. When I was in high school, I thought I was asexual, which is not to say that asexuality does not exist, but it was not what was going on with me, you know? Mm-hmm. It was like, as a child, I was, like, very nerdy, I was very bookish, I was very, like, Tumblr fandom teen girl kind of realm. The more that I transition and the more that I like become a man, the more I'm like, oh, that was just sort of like being so heavily dissociated from myself that I didn't even know what was going on or what I wanted. I feel like in college I started being like when I turned 18, I was like, I could be a girl, but I'm not a woman. And it was like, I don't know, like my transition has been an extremely sort of, like long and gradual process. I had like a super super long like I don't want to do medical transition non-binary phase, and then when I graduated college I was like, I need top surgery, and then I started getting in like in community with other trans men, and I like this is like fully me rambling, but I've been thinking about trans community a lot lately, and I think that the thing that helped me sort of figure out what I wanted to do with my life more than anything else was just talking to other guys who had gone through the same things that I was going through. And being able to talk to guys who had like been on hormones for 10 years or whatever, and seeing that like, actually it doesn't just turn you into your dad. You know what I mean? And I feel like we're going to get into it, but I feel like a lot of my work is sort of wrestling with the anxieties of trans masculinity. Yeah, so that's like a thing that I've been thinking a lot about lately, but that's sort of what the journey has been, is like being really nervous about stuff and then realizing actually it's fine to just be a boy. It's like actually fine to be a man.
You know, this is very funny. This is something that's been on my mind lately, which is, mm-hmm. So my parents visited me recently, which was nice. Mm-hmm. And for like a lot of my, up until like, honestly, like now I've like thought like, wow, I've like really become so much like my mother, which is true.
Yeah.
But being around my parents again made me realize I'm also like a lot like my father in some ways. Just like we have like a lot of like very similar like vocabulary tics, or like I don't know, like we're very different in terms of like interests and perspective on the world and a lot of other things. But I was just like staring. I was like a little crisis of like, because that was like a big, that was a big thing for me, was like fear of becoming like my father. Like my entire life, I was
We're all scared of becoming our dads, right? I don't think anybody has like a positive association with like, what if I become my dad?
Yeah, and now it's just like, it's just so fucking funny to me now. I think that's a sign of, I don't know, like, also having become my own person, I'm just, like, look at this and be like, what the fuck? Like, that's fun.
Yeah, it is weird, like, I feel like I do feel like I, like, I'm becoming more my mother as time passes, and mostly that's just, like, I have an insatiable appetite for, like, peanut butter and chocolate in combination. Like, I feel like my taste buds are very, like, my
really
mom.
Good combination.
It's really, really good. It is, it does become insane when you're me and I share a house, but, like, I live alone with my cat, and most days if, like, I want a little treat for myself, I'll just, like, mix some chocolate chips into, like, a jar of peanut butter and just scoop out some peanut butter with chocolate chips in it, and I call it a mouth Reese's.
Hell yeah.
Like, it's really bad. I'm 2.5 years on T, so I'm, like, fully blaming it on, like, teenage boy testosterone appetites. But yeah, I feel like, yeah, there are, like, little things that I'll pick out about, like, oh, this is a thing that my dad does that I also do, or, like, this is a thing that my mom does that I also do. But I feel like, I'm never, like, consciously moving towards those things, you know? I feel like if I have role models in my life, it's always, like, other trans people that I know, where I'm like, I want to be like you.
Yeah, exactly. I'm very, like, yeah, I think that's, yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me about, like, oh my god. Yeah, so you said you were, like, a horse girl?
Yeah, I was a horse girl. So I wasn't the kind of horse girl who has a horse.
Okay.
Like, I wasn't rich. So there are two types of horse girl. I keep explaining this to people, and this is great to have this on the podcast, because now I can just point people to this episode when I have to explain this. So there are two types of horse girl, right? There is the kind of horse girl who is rich and, like, has a horse and probably, like, does competitions, right? And that type of horse girl grows up to be, like a trad wife Christian who, like, wears a cross necklace and is, like, on Instagram. You know what I mean? And then the other type of horse girl is the type that I was. And that's the type of horse girl who's just, like, a freaky little kid who reads a lot of horse books and, like, fantasizes about having a horse. And, like, I grew up in the woods. I grew up in South Jersey. And so, like, I had a lot of access to horse farms. So I got to, like, I learned how to ride for a few years, which is, like,
lucky.
But,
like,
it was, like,
I wasn't in that world
in that way. I was just, like, thinking about horses all day. And that kind of horse girl grows up to be a trans man. Yeah, like, this is the like, typology of horse girls. But yes, I don't know. I feel like there's just something really magnificent about a big animal that you can be friends with. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've always really loved, like, big animals, or just big things. Like, elephants are my absolute favorite. I would just, like, love an elephant.
Love an elephant. I was really into big cats as a kid. Also, I was I am a cat guy. I like all animals, but yeah, I was a horse girl, and now I'm a gay jock, and that's
when did gay jockhood come on? I mean, you said what, that you, yeah. Well, let's like, I don't
know. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I'm like, you've dropped so many.
Yeah, you're trying to wrap your brain around whatever
you've
I'm
dropped
doing
so
over
many
here.
Things that I'm trying to like put them into order and figure out how I wanted to go, because you were a horse girl.
Yeah, I was a horse girl, so I swam all through high school. So I was always like athletic, right? And then just, you know, especially since I got on T, it's like, oh, when you have a consistent workout schedule and you're like starting to take up martial arts, and also you're a faggot, like you just sort of you just sort of start getting muscular. So now like all of my, I mean, I'm sure you've seen my social media, which is just like insane fucking thirst traps all the time, because now like I'm like single and hot.
Hell yeah.
Ladies. That's the other fucked up thing about me, is I'm like a gay guy who fucks women.
Fucked up. It's beautiful.
Thank you for saying this.
What's yeah, so okay, and then you were like so you're like horse girl swimmer. Were you like competitive? You were like doing like competitive swimming, I assume. Like,
yeah, I mean, I was on my swim team. My high school did not have a particularly good swim program. Like, we didn't have our own pool, which I think is a big part of it. But I was like, yeah, I was doing long distance freestyle. So I was like, by the time I was a senior in high school, I was swimming like the most out of anybody on my team in a meet.
Yeah, long distance is,
so yeah, damn, I can, you know,
crazy. Long distance,
what?
It's like,
yeah,
you don't realize like how hard swimming is until someone's like, swim a mile, and then you're like, that's because like you hear like walk or run a mile, and I've never been able to like run. I've always had really fucked up legs.
No, I hate running. I fully hate running. Like, swimming is really good because it's low impact. It is a full body workout, so like it can be intense, but like, like for instance right now, like a couple weeks ago I sprained my ankle in jiu-jitsu class, and it's really good that my main workout is swimming, because I'm like, oh, I could go back to the pool within a matter of like a week instead of like waiting for my ankle to fully heal, because you like can't really get hurt swimming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Maybe I need to get into swimming. I like right, this
I'm
would have been like a per-
this.
Well, this like would have been a perfect thing for me growing up, if not for the fact that like I definitely would have like been, I would not have been able to like handle it like socially or emotionally, like
yeah, that's the other thing about being like a transsexual swimmer, is I feel like I have a relationship to swimming that a lot of trans people don't get to have. So it's always interesting to have that conversation where I'm like, oh yeah, this is, and obviously like I've had, you know, encounters in locker rooms, nothing that's been like violent luckily, but like, you know, I realize that that's like fraught for some people.
So was that ever anything that was like fraught for you growing up, or
I don't think consciously, because again, like I when I was a kid, I sort of based my whole personality around like consuming things, like media. Like I was a big reader. I read a lot of books. I was just like big into like fandom culture, kind of stuff. And so it was a lot of like, now I you know, this was not a thing that was conscious at the time, obviously, but now as I'm sort of like narrativizing my life in retrospect, I've been thinking of it as like, oh, I was so like dissociated from like trying to be a girl. Like, I was never good at being a girl, right? I never like really got along with girls my own age. I like never had a lot of friends growing up, but I would like throw myself into, well, I love this book series, or like I love this movie, as like a way of like building a personality that didn't require me to think about myself for even a second. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of people do.
Yeah.
That. Like I don't think this is an uncommon experience. But yeah, it was never like I this year have been sort of coming to terms with the fact, because I've been like reconnecting with a really good friend from high school, and we've had conversations about how like how much I was bullied in high school, which is a thing that I never understood myself as being bullied when I was in high school, because I just had no fucking awareness of what was going on around me, which is like lucky, because I feel like I have a lot less trauma than I could have had.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, it was never like a conscious thing with me until I hit adulthood, and I was like starting to think of myself as an adult, and I was like, well, what kind of adult am I going to be? And the answer was, I can't be one, you know?
So what's like the what were some of those like series? I always find the specifics of this sort of question really interesting, and then yeah
oh, like what was I into? Yeah, well, going back to the horse girl thing, a thing that I realized a couple of years ago that I think is really funny is all of my favorite horse books were horse boy books.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
It's not really, right? Because, like, I don't think horse boys are like, sort of have the cultural cachet that horse girls do. But, like the Horse and His Boy, the Narnia book, I really, really loved. There's a book by Marguerite Henry, who's the woman who wrote Misty of Chincoteague, which is, like, a very famous horse book, called King of the Wind, which was my favorite book for, like, 10 years. As a side note, in terms of, like, what a horse literature I consumed. But other than that, it was, like, when I was in high school, I was big into the whole Super Hulock thing because, it was, like, 2012.
Yeah, everyone.
I was big into, like, YouTube vlogger culture. Like, the first sort of, like, Me Too moment that I experienced was Alex Day. Do you know when Alex Day had a whole fucking thing? Oh, he's like I think he was from London. He was like a British, like an English vlogger guy. He got famous because he like read Twilight as a video series and made fun of it. And then like a bunch of stuff came out about him, but that was like the first vlogger I ever got into. And so when he like got like Me Too'd or canceled or like whatever you want to call it, held accountable for his behavior. I was like, whoa, this is crazy. And that was, like, around the time Gamergate was happening. Oh, we're gonna talk
about
Gamergate.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
this sounds
very, like,
pertinent to
where I know we're going eventually.
Yeah. Other than that, like, I was very into Aragon.
Oh,
I'm still very into Chris Paolini. I think he's, like, such a cool guy.
I actually did read Aragon. I don't, like, remember really anything from it.
It's not a well-written book because he did write it when he was 15. But it's cute. What else? Yeah, like Super Hulock stuff. Star Kid, the Harry Potter musical people.
I have no
idea. Do you know
idea.
About this? They're like a theater troupe who like all went to college together in Michigan, and they like made a musical about Harry Potter that got really big on YouTube, and now they're like that's like their whole thing is like parody musicals. That was like my first fandom. Yeah, I was just on time.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay. Interesting.
is that satisfactory?
Yeah.
Is that enough things?
Yeah,
for you to get an idea?
It really is.
I was really into Teen Titans, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Pokemon.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
We like that. Teen Titans.
I was a Gen 3 purist. I only played Emerald my entire childhood, and then I picked up Sword when Sword came out, and that was like, those are like the only two Pokemon games I've played.
I've always been really big. I've played pretty much everything consistently since I don't play like all the like new mainline entries. I don't really play the remakes unless they're like particularly good or like I don't know. I was a big Legends Arceus fan when that came out earlier than last year, 2 years ago. I can't remember.
Yeah, I that is the one where I'm like no,
it's,
I would
it's extremely
that, you know?
Good.
Like,
it's really really good.
Yeah, it seems good and it seems like. Something different. I want them to bring back Mystery Dungeon. Like, I want them to do another Mystery Dungeon game because that was so
my
neat.
God. I loved that one. And then I played. Well, they did a remake of one of the Mystery Dungeons, like, I think right before the start of COVID. And I remember I was playing it,
wait,
like, during, like, the
that.
Spring break when, like, that just went on forever because COVID started. And, like, then I think I eventually stopped because I was, like, losing it.
Mystery Dungeon Rescue Team DX.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a Mystery Dungeon for the Switch. That's all that I wanted.
Yeah. I'm glad we solved that problem for you.
Yeah, thank you so much. This is why I came on here, is to get Pokemon recommendations. That's so fucking funny. But yeah, so you were big into Pokemon. I don't know. Were you ever big into like fandom?
Not
culture?
Like
were you like into things in that way, or was it just like
not
I like
particularly?
This
it was more like I was like a punk, in like a kind
right,
of
yeah,
not really like super like affected way because I thought that was like kind of corny. But like I was like I started like going to shows when I was like 15. I was like,
right,
yeah, like super into like local music and like kind of edgy,
yeah,
in a way that sort of like eventually coalesced into like like radical politics that then also mm-hmm. kind of like ran up against some of like the boundaries of like being edgy as like a sort of thing. But right, like the thing is,
yeah,
is that like a lot of this was kind of happening like in sort of adjacency to like Tumblr, because like my local music scene was like super heavily influenced by emo, and so like even though it was like
right,
was that kind of like emo punk crossover, it feels weird to call it a crossover because the genres have always been really related, obviously, like, you know, Rites of Spring or whatever,
right, but like in
yeah,
that,
so it was like a lot of like, yeah, like I don't know, some of the, like the first, well, I listened to like a little bit of everything. The first time I like started going to like DIY shows, I went to 3 shows in a week, and the shows I went to were Ramshackle Glory one day, which
yeah.
is like a folk punk band, Fool of Hell, which is like a really okay.
Oh no, I'm fully aware of Ramshackle Glory. My first big like depressive episode of my life, I would just listen to Your Heart Is
yeah.
a Muscle Besides
oh,
Your Fist
it's
over
so
and
good.
Over.
Yeah, I found like Johnny
yeah.
Hobo when I was like in my like teenage like drug geezer phase, and then when I like later
mm-hmm,
found
mm-hmm.
like Ramshackle Glory like a few months later, I was like, whoa, he got better. That's so cool. yeah.
It's so good when like folk punk guys
yeah
get
and then
good,
when he like
know?
Retired I like cried because I was like, oh, that's
mm-hmm.
makes a lot of sense, but it's also very sad, but
mm-hmm.
but yeah, then I like but yeah, so it was Ramshackle Glory, Fool of Hell, just like a really good hardcore band
mm-hmm.
that I still really like all these bands, and then I'm trying to remember exactly who all was on the bill for the third night. I know it was
mm-hmm.
Dads and The World Is a Beautiful Place, which is like a this was like a famous like this like became like famous like lore among like the emo scene, because like I don't know like exactly what
so
I don't
much.
Know exactly like what happened, but like they just apparently did not they like went on tour together and they just did not get along, like they had completely different like I don't know, like, ethos or something, and they just, like, hated each other the entire time.
That's, I love it when
and,
that
like,
happens.
Yeah, for, like,
so
years,
good.
Like, The World Is a Beautiful Place, like, would not acknowledge that, that tour had happened. They were just like, no, that wasn't a thing. Like, that's not real.
That's so fucking funny. That's, like, I don't know. I always think of, like, famous rivalries. I think of Bette Davis and Joan Crawford making Whatever Happened to Baby Jane together.
No, I don't.
Do you know about this? Is this too film guy? This is me being a film guy. I think the gayest thing about me is I do really like Bette Davis. So these are, like two, like, classic Hollywood actresses who, like, famously fucking hated each other. And then when they were both a bit older, they were in a movie together where they played sisters who, like... Like, one sister is, like, like imprisoning and torturing the other one, and it just seems so fun.
That is really funny. That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like, I would have loved to be on that set so they could just, like feeling
right,
the vibes.
Yeah.
You know? Like, what were the vibes like
yeah,
on that tour?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Well, it's also very funny, because Dads was, like, famously a band that was, like, it was just two people. It was, like, a very small band, and The World Is a Beautiful Place was, like,
right, yeah.
at this point, like, 8 or 9 people, so just,
oh sure yeah so they
yeah.
had the numbers on advantage it wasn't
yeah
a
no it was not but yeah god fucking but yeah, so that was like kind of, and I was just all of those things all at once, like listening to all that sort of stuff, but like
yeah.
there was but all that
yeah,
stuff
I
was
feel
like very
real...
much like had like a life on Tumblr, and like that was like my like friends that like
mm-hmm.
went to different schools but like were my age and who I was like meeting at these shows, like that was how we kept in contact, was on Tumblr, and like none of us were like super into
mm-hmm.
like the fandom stuff. My girlfriend at the time was kind of, she was like pretty into like Doctor Who and Sherlock.
Yeah, I was gonna say I feel like there's a big like gender divide, and I feel like specifically there's a big like trans mask trans femme divide between like the kind of trans mask who was into Super Hulock and the kind of trans femme who
yeah.
was into punk shows, you know, like those are two like types of
that ended up
sure.
in proximity because of just Tumblr being a place where like things are happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah. Like which is funny. Know, yeah. But then yeah, it's actually it's also very funny. My girlfriend wasn't really into Supernatural because her mom was super into it, and I think it was just like that was like a little bit too close. So funny. Just really funny.
Yeah, that's so funny. No, I feel like this I feel like that's a very common thing where like people would be into the British shows and then not really be into Supernatural, but like the people who were into Supernatural were very into Supernatural, you know what I mean?
It seemed that seems like the kind of
Yeah. Like I think I ended up only watching Supernatural because like my best friend in high school like was into it, and so I decided to like do a big catch up at one point. But yeah, I stopped watching that show in like season 8. I did not watch until the end. I did not watch all fucking 15 seasons of Supernatural. Basically, until like the second I got into college or like went to college, I like stopped going on Tumblr, and then I sort of like fell off of all the fandoms, and then I figured out my gender shit because I could like think about myself.
Yeah, I also stopped using Tumblr when I went to college, but that was largely because I could just like text my friends now and like or like walk like.
Walk down
the street and see them. Because I went to college at the same place where I grew up. So it was very, like I went to
That's
college.
Cool.
It was basically just, like, me moving into the city and having more freedom, which was really good.
Right. it's so nice to move out of your house. You know what I mean?
It rules.
yeah.
But then, yeah, so, okay, so you get off to college. You're off Tumblr now. And that's when you start to think about gender, or like, had you right? So you mm-hmm. considered yourself asexual throughout high school?
High school and like?
Sorry, say what you're going to say, and then. Well, I was going to ask, like, was that like a thing that I don't know? How did you understand like asexuality in reference to like the LGBT community? I know that's like a loaded question. It's gonna like.
Julian, if I answer this, I'm gonna get so fucking canceled again.
No, I mean,
like, I've already been canceled once this month.
Yeah.
We're not gonna talk about that. I can only speak to my experience. I'm not gonna like speak for like people who are currently asexual, right? Like I'm gonna speak to like there was a phase where this was an identity that I held, and I no longer hold that identity. It's really hard to sort of separate out what I was feeling at the time from like how I understand those feelings now. I think for me, it was just really difficult to picture myself enjoying sex as like a girl or a woman, you know what I mean? And I, again, like I feel like, sorry, I'm like losing my train of thought. I'm getting it back. I feel like I'm really somebody who had to figure out my gender shit before I could even start to think about my sexuality. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like even now, like I've been on hormones for 2.5 years now. And in that time, I feel like I've learned so much about what I want sexually and what I want from a partner and like who I am as a partner. I think for me, like being asexual was a way of sort of putting a label on like a dysphoria that I was not yet able to sort of reckon with, you know? And that like started changing, you know. It was again a very very gradual shift because I remember the moment that I realized I wasn't a woman. It was like I was just like walking around campus, but I like remember the spot that I was at. I went to school at Northwestern, unfortunately, and I was like about to like cross Sheridan Road, and I was like, oh god, know? and then I sort of spent a little bit of time because I had grown up sort of in the Tumblr sphere. That was a social scene that was, very labels heavy, you know? And so I spent some time, you know, that was like my freshman year of college. I spent some time, like a couple of weeks sort of trying to figure out like, okay, like what words can I apply to myself? And none of them were really working out. And so I was like, okay, I will ignore this for like 3 years.
Okay.
I'm very much like not a labels guy, you know, like I say political they them because I'm like, you can, just like look at me and like pick some pronouns for me. I don't give a shit, you know? I don't really like do like sexuality or gender labels now. I just like don't think that's a thing that's particularly helpful for me specifically. And I think trying to fit myself into, well, like what box am I going to fit into outside of like, generic transmasculinity, was like actually really harmful in sort of actually figuring out what I wanted.
I'm curious about like what exactly is going on during those couple years between like while you're an undergrad where you like kind of have this, like, do you just kind of give up?
Where I have this understanding of myself, but I'm like, I won't internalize.
Yeah, are you just like sort of like, I don't know, like,
yeah. It was very much a back burner thing. It was like, well, I don't know that this necessarily matters enough for me to need to do anything about it. And I had a really, really long period of time where I was like, I don't want medical transition. So that was like not even a thing that I was thinking about. And so for my day to day, you know, I kind of like experimented with binding. I didn't end up binding, you know, like for real until like my senior year. But like in that time, basically the whole time I was in college, I was just like, I don't know. I was also like going through a lot of mental health stuff. There was like a lot of, I was in a very transitional phase in my life in general. And I think, yeah, I think figuring out like particularly what I wanted to do with my gender was just something that had to wait a little while and for me to be able to sit with. And like, I told maybe like two people in my life in that time, like, oh yeah, there's something fucky going on with my gender, but like, I don't really know what to do about it.
Okay.
Like what it is. Like, as I was graduating college, I by that time, I was, like, binding full-time, basically. And I was like, I need top surgery. Because I saw a YouTuber who wasn't on testosterone get top surgery. And that was like, oh, that's a thing I can do. So that was, like, my first thing. And so, like, as soon as I graduated college and moved into Chicago proper, I, like, hooked up with, like, a local trans mass community group and just, like, made a bunch of trans guy friends. And then it was, like, it was kind of off to the races. It was, like, still a few years before, like, I got top surgery the next year. And then it was still, like, a year and a half before I started hormones. But that was, like, me sort of, like, finding trans community for the first time. So that's, like, sort of the whole thing.
What about, so did you have any kind of, like, not, I guess you're saying this is you finding trans community for the first time. Did you have any kind of, like, queer community around you in the kind of, throughout your teenage years? I mean, like, right, I guess, like,
period?
The super hulock thing was, I don't know, like, how gay was that? Because I feel like I never really understood. Like, it seemed like a lot of people that were just kind of incoherent and sometimes horny, but sometimes, like, aggressively not horny. And
yeah, I mean, I feel like... If we're talking about, like, fandom culture, like, I think Tumblr culture generally was
queer.
And specifically, I think there are a lot of people who were, like, you know, like, bisexual teenage girls on Tumblr who are transmasc now. Like, I think there's a lot of people who were, like, trying out, like, neo pronouns on Tumblr in 2012, and now they're just, like, a trans guy. I'm sure the same thing is true to a certain extent for like trans femmes, but I just feel like Tumblr was so, like, at least the areas
we had different sorts of cultural touchstones.
Yeah.
Punks are trans women now.
So I feel like looking back on it now, I feel like the circles of Tumblr that I ran in were like, similarly to me, were very repressed, but were trying to sort of articulate something about themselves with the tools that they had. Just like the tools that we had were media.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which I think is kind of beautiful. Like I think something happened on Tumblr in the early 2010s that like is an extremely like sort of unique touch point and became sort of a jumping off point for a lot of different things. In ways that, like, I don't know how to really fully articulate, but I'm sure somebody else has done it.
Well, I remember on, like, the very first episode of this podcast, I was talking with my friend Raya, who's the first guest, and I don't know, I went on a whole thing about the way that media can come to stand in for a personal history when you're young and don't have any kind of personal history of your own, because you haven't actually lived a life.
Yeah.
And so you find things that sort of, like, indicate like the kind of life that you might want to live, or like the kind of life that you might imagine living, or the kind of life that you're really scared of living, and you kind of like project a lot of like your own feelings and neuroses onto that, and then sort of I don't know, I think it's genuinely helpful. It's interesting. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it comes up in a lot of different places. And in a lot of different ways,
yeah.
Right? Like, it's not just sort of like, I don't know, like what you might call like thick media, like in the sense of like movies or TV shows or books. I think that there's a lot of stuff like going on, like within like music fandoms. I think there's kind of like similar.
Right. Yeah. I was never like a music head as a kid. So I didn't have that side of it, but like, no, I for sure, like, you know, through conversations with like friends who similarly to you came up in punk scenes, I'm like, oh no, that's like a type of community that I feel like is really, really
yeah.
good for people who are
it's,
trying to figure some
it's
shit
very
out.
Funny, I think many people that are like still very like heavily into those things would be upset at hearing the kind of comparison, but no, it's true. I don't maybe not. I think, I don't know, it varies. I think some of them, I mean, sometimes it's the same people, right? Like there are people that are very much
right.
into both, but
yeah, no, I mean, I don't, I understand why people would take offense to that, but I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, like, oh, here is a type of thing that this, like, type of community
yeah,
can do,
yeah,
you know?
No,
it's not the thing itself, it's the way that people connect with each other.
Yeah,
from,
the aesthetics are just
really
kind
beautiful.
Of, like, whatever happens to stick. There's actually not
right.
that thick of a relationship between the aesthetics
yeah,
the function, just kind of funny.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting.
But,
yeah.
yeah. Okay. So yeah. So you felt like there was okay. So it was like a lot of like repressed queerness, maybe that at the time you didn't really
yeah.
sort of did you think of it as any sort of like relationship to that, or like I don't know, like would you have considered yourself part of the LGBT community as an asexual?
No, I definitely
okay.
did. I was definitely like, because I, you know, and it wasn't necessarily like, I was never a lesbian, and I'm really sad about that, because I would have been an amazing bike in high school. Like, I would have pulled so much. But like, yeah, I don't think for me, like, queerness and asexuality necessarily has to do with like, well, I need my right to, you know, fuck this person or be this way, right? It's just, well, there is something about me that is really, really different from everybody
yeah.
around me. And that's like, that's scary,
yeah.
you know? And it's nice to be able to count yourself as part of this larger umbrella community where it's like, oh, we are all experiencing the same thing in different ways, but we're all experiencing the same like alienation from mainstream culture. And so I think in terms of like, you know, like our ace is queer. Like, I think, yes. and I, like, that's definitely how I thought of myself, but it wasn't, I wasn't really ready to think of it as anything else, anything other than, well, here's sort of a shared experience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I think that's very sort of like, I've always been very kind of like, not a part of those conversations. Just like, I don't know.
Right.
No, just hasn't really happened. But that was kind of always my perspective as an outsider. It was like, I don't know, like, yeah, like,
yeah.
The sort of, like, couple form is so kind of, like, dominant that it seems, like, not really feeling a strong investment in it, and not really feeling a strong investment in
mm-hmm.
any kind of, seems pretty obviously, like, it would create some sort of problem, you know, and, I don't know, or some sort of, like, alienation or something like that, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I mean, you know, particularly in my case where it was, like, the identification with asexuality was like purely a response to the alienation that like had
right.
a different source.
Right? Yeah. That was,
yeah.
Dysphoria.
yeah. Yeah. Which like there are like many such cases. Like there's so many trans people that I have like met and seen who at some point have identified as asexual and then transitioned and been like, oh yeah, that was like a phase that I had. Which again is not to say that asexuality is not a thing. I just think that like that is an identification that a lot of trans people go through at some point, because yeah, it's hard to think of yourself as a sexual creature when you are so disconnected from your body.
Yeah, there is
yeah.
like a lot of reasons why one might not be interested in sex at a given time, and it can be that that's just like
mm-hmm.
a thing that you're just like not going to be interested in ever, but it could also just be that you're like in a battle with your body
yeah.
or what have you, and like
yeah.
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 okay. So hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, now
I'm here.
Now you're here. Now you're a gay jock. What was the kind of, when did you realize you were a gay jock?
the horse girl to gay jock thing was a joke that I made in like the run up to getting top surgery. So that's like been around for a while. I sort of wrestle with myself on this, and this is going to sound, I'm going to sound very narcissistic talking about this, but like, I am pretty muscular. I'm like a, I'm like a pretty attractive guy. You know what I mean? I feel like I have this wrestling with myself because I do sort of just like look like a gay guy. And I am a gay guy in a lot of respects. And there's such a cultural thing around like gay guys who get built as like, you know, like a weird body thing. And I'm like, no, like genuinely, the more I've transitioned, the more I've really liked being in touch with my body. Right. Because I spent so long specifically like trying to not be in touch with myself and not be in touch with my body as much as possible by like, you know, sublimating myself into like more intellectual pursuits and fandom pursuits and things like that. And the more I've transitioned, the more I've been like, oh no, I actually, like, I do, I really like being athletic and I like swimming and I like, you know, I've been boxing for 2.5 years. I really like boxing. It also, you know, goes into like a political valence for me where like I started picking up martial arts as like a way to make myself useful in a community defense capacity. And so like, that's really valuable to me. Like I have this, insane career goal a couple years down the road to like become an electrician. Cause I just want to like be a trades guy and work with my hands. So yeah, I think the gay jock thing is like, I really enjoy the more that I become a man, the more that I enjoy like masculine embodiment in that way. Does that make sense? Does that like sound so
no,
funny?
No, that makes like a lot of sense, I think.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't have any objection to any of that.
Great.
Yeah, good. No, because like, I don't know. That's like a thing. Like I started doing yoga probably about like a year ago, a little bit more than a year ago at this point, mm-hmm. which kind of was like a long kind of consequence of, I've had like chronic pain as a result of like an injury when I was a teenager right. for like, since I was right. a teenager, like 10 years now, more than 10 years. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
We're old.
So I like, and then I got vaginoplasty last August, and then...
Hell yeah.
At this point, my sort of, like, best kind of, like, guess at an explanation, although I feel like it's still kind of a little shaky, is, like, you know, recovery. I probably lost, like, a decent amount of muscle. I mean, I hadn't really been, like, the most active even before that, because my chronic pain had really, like, ratcheted up in, like, the year before that.
Right.
And probably sort of consequent of that, my symptoms got like a lot worse, kind of very dramatically and very suddenly. And I've since managed to like kind of get them back under control. But part of that was like taking up a yoga practice, which kind of pissed me off because I'm the most annoying people in the world for right.
that's true. But like yoga is like surprisingly intense. Like I never understood it.
No,
so
it's, but it's really great. And I was just, I don't know, I like found like a lot of joy in doing it and like really, really enjoy it. And I was talking with an acquaintance who also had vaginoplasty. I think hers was like a little bit before that. And I was like, yeah, it's crazy. Like, this is so good. Like, I wish I tried this a while ago. And she said something like, well, like, how do you think you would have felt doing it a while ago? And I was like, oh, yeah. Because it's like, I don't know, it's so... Dysphoria is just like so disruptive and so dissociating and so like
There are so many things that you don't even know you'll enjoy until you're in a body that can
it. Exactly. It's very like it really, really changed the way that I felt like capable of like moving and like holding myself and just like all these sorts of things. It's like it's so fucking cool. It's really good. So like I guess that's just, like, a long way to say that, like, I feel that. I get it. Like, it's... Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's... I don't know. That's, like, a sort of...
No, it's beautiful. Yeah, and I'm really happy for you.
I'm happy that you've got your martial arts and all the sort of, like, contact...
Yeah, I've got all my...
All the contact sports. Boxing. Oh, my God. Boxing? Mm-hmm. Boxing does sound like fun. Yeah, which is why I would low-key kind of like to try that.
It's super fun, and it's really nice. It's really nice to know how to punch somebody in the face. I did, since I've moved out to Philly, I moved to Philly from Chicago in April. And since I've moved out here, I had to leave my previous boxing class, which was like very, honestly, like the hardest thing for me to leave in Chicago. And since I've been out here, I've been getting more into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and it's been really nice to like supplement the knowing how to punch somebody in the face with knowing how to take somebody down to the ground and like do things without sort of that like violent escalation. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it is really nice to like be able to throw like a killer right hand. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I have to imagine.
Yeah. yeah. If you ever had to have a chance to take like a boxing fundamentals like 101 class, like I really recommend it. It's, you know, I think I always approach like doing new physical things with like, well, here's like a new way to learn how to mm-hmm. use my body. And I find, again, because I'm a jock, I find that really yeah. fascinating. Like when you mentioned yoga, I was about to say, I never really understood why people got so into yoga because all the stuff I do is like very active in a way that yoga isn't necessarily. like a few weeks ago, I met a girl who I posed for her. She was like, you know, practicing her figure drawing, and I met her on Grindr, and I was like, yeah, like I'll come to your house and like take all my clothes off and pose for you. and it was really, really fun, and it was like holding a pose for 5 minutes long. I was like, oh, I get it. Like I understand how you're.
Yeah, no, it's really. Yeah, I was gonna say like some of those poses, like it is yeah. really intense. In literally like the best way. Like it's awesome. I really, really love it. This is yeah. like. If you want to try yoga, go try yoga. It's awesome.
yeah,
highly, one day. You can just like look up some YouTube videos. It's like so easy to do.
Yeah, I've been to a few yoga classes. I'm just like I'm so insufferably like I feel like moving. I have to, you know.
I feel that
also
it
all
is,
the all the sports
it is
that
hard
I've gotten
to just
really...
like sit in the pose like intellectually like that is hard.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. That's a worthwhile skill.
Also, I've really...
No, sorry. I was just saying, that's, like, a worthwhile skill to cultivate, too, I think.
Yeah. No, I'm not disagreeing. I was just going to say, all of the sports that I've really connected with have been, in some way, like, survival skills.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, horse riding, swimming, boxing. I'm like, I just need to know how to, like, be alive in any... You know, when the apocalypse
yeah.
comes.
Well, that's interesting, right? I'm, like, hearing you talk about, like... yeah, like sort of like, you know, yeah, like self-defense or like community defense and all these sorts of like mm-hmm. things. And I'm thinking about the art that you made that was part of your yeah,
yeah
like
should we
talking
yeah, about
rabbit
it?
Hole.
yeah.
Yeah.
Which is very much like coming from the same sort of intellectual place but from the opposite
right.
direction.
Right. As like a sort of like this is the dark side of this stuff.
I think I said this to you, but my when I have pitched Rabbit Hole to people while I was working on it, especially, I was like, yeah, it's about a trans guy who's so fucked up about his gender, and he copes his way of coping with it is by watching a lot of Andrew
yeah.
Tate videos,
which I will say I don't think is actually probably that uncommon for why cis guys are really into Andrew Tate or like any of those sorts of things, right?
Yeah.
Like their complaints are always very or like yeah, like, you end Rabbit Hole with, like,
yeah.
the fucking, like, Elliot Rodgers voiceover, and, like, it's, that is, like,
yeah.
a sort of, I mean, like, right, it's, like, a bad sort of, like, gender. Like, I think, this is, like, an interesting thing I, like, sort mm-hmm. of think about sometimes, is, like, what kind of genders should we, like, tell people to not have, or, like, try to discourage people from having? And, like, I think that there is something about, like, the sort of, like, heteropatriarchal man or something like that is like a sort of like distinct gender formation that is like sort of like very kind of socially deleterious or something like that, like the right, like
yeah, the sort of yeah, the
like that way of like relating
like
that
yeah.
way of like relating to women as like, oh, these are like people that should be like adoring me or that like owe me something or like that I should like
yeah
sort of like take care of in this like paternalistic sense or something like that.
Yeah, it's you know, it's heteropatriarchy and you know, at least when I'm making my work, I'm thinking about, like, specifically white heteropatriarchy, as, and I feel like it's sort of, I don't know, I've been doing a lot of reading lately because of the horrors, but it feels like an extension of, like, empire and
colonization. Oh, yeah, extremely.
You know, it's this, sorry, I'm, like, looking at my books. There's a book called Angry White Men. I think it's by Michael Kimmel. But he sort of coins a term called aggrieved entitlement to sort of describe, like specifically, like, white men who actually, like, you know, don't have that much going wrong in their lives, but if something goes wrong for them, they're like, the whole world is out to get me, and I deserve
right.
these things, right? Including women, including success at work. And when things go wrong for them, they turn to violence, right? Aggrieved entitlement is a really good term that I've sort of found. We can get into it, but I have spent years and years and years thinking about this stuff.
Did you think about this stuff a lot before you were a man? Or, I guess, before you transitioned?
Yeah. No, I mean, you can just call me a man. That's fine. I don't know why I didn't bring this up when we were talking about Tumblr and stuff, but, So when I was in high school and when Gamergate was happening, and you know, that was what, like, 2013, and I graduated high school in 2014, so I was like 17, 18. I was very on Tumblr. I was also, like, aside from fandom culture, I was very into, like, Tumblr feminism, right? Because I was, part of my reaction to I'm not very good at being a girl is, like, well, I can be any kind of girl I want to be, you know. it turns out sometimes that kind of girl is a man. I spent a lot of time, like, while Gamergate was, you know, sort of emerging into the culture, arguing on Reddit with men's rights activists, and like poisoning my brain with this. Like, this is my route. This is my, like, jokerification story. So I was, like, 18. I was, like, all this stuff is happening online. These men believe fucking insane things about women. And that sort of, like, morbid interest in that kind of toxic guy never went away. So, like, you know, in 2016, 2017, when, like, the alt-right was getting going and, you know, like, Trump was happening and there was all this, like resurgence of neo-Nazism, I was like, you know, that was, like, the stuff that I was consuming, just in terms of, like, keeping an eye on it, right? Like, talk about community defense stuff, I really like just, like, knowing what's going on the other side of the fence. And it turns out, like, it's all the same guys who were doing anti-feminism stuff, you know, 5-10 years ago or previously. It's just they all, or not they all, but, you know, those men who sort of stayed on that track are just Nazis now, because that's sort of how the rabbit, you know, that's how the rabbit goes.
Right, that's where it leads to.
So this is like a type of guy that I have been thinking about for 10 years, and, like, fascinated by for 10 years. And I think a lot of decisions that I have made about my transition and a lot of the ways that I've grown to think about my transition has been in the context of how do I avoid being this kind of guy. And that's ultimately, I think that's, like, pretty clearly what Rabbit Hole is about. should I, like, for people who haven't watched it and are listening to this, should I just, like, briefly describe, like, what?
Yeah, I think that, like, give, like, a quick summary, and then, like, there'll be, like, obviously, link down in the episode description if you want to go watch it. It's, like,
awesome.
I think 16 minutes long or something. It's not very long.
Yeah, like, 16 and a half. Yeah,
so,
the whole thing.
Watch it.
So Rabbit Hole, yeah. And I can also talk about, like, the sort of process of making it. So, I was a film major in college. I've made some film work. I finished a short film last year that we shot in, like, 2021 and had, like, you know, it had, like, a whole crew. It was, like, a $10,000 movie, whatever. And that was a pretty good experience. But when I moved to Philly, I really wanted to just, like, make something by myself for myself. And so Rabbit Hole was sort of the result of that. It's, like, extremely DIY in that, like, I didn't have a proper microphone. I just had, it was, like, just me and my DSLR. And it is, I've been calling it a toxic poem because I'm pretentious, but it is essentially a 10-part web series that I released every day for 10 days at the beginning of October on social media, and it is, like I said, it is about a trans guy who is pretty effective about his gender and, you know, has some troubles with his romantic life and decides to sort of go down the sort of, the Andrew Tate, Calvin Guerra, eventually like Elliot Rodger path. And I think there are like three videos in that series where I'm like, this is really, really good. I do think that the 10th part, the last part, is like a pretty good standalone piece. I think it's probably the best thing I've ever made. But yeah, it's 16 and a half minutes of, me acting out sort of like a fictional version of myself who again, like, yeah, what if it was like the bizarro world version of my transition, basically?
What if you hadn't had this sort of, I don't know, right? It's interesting to think about. I guess one, yeah, like the progression of like Calvin Guerra is like a person that like obviously some amount of like trans men are like, you know, enjoy his content. I've never watched any of it. I don't really understand like who he is.
A lot of people are not really aware of him, which I think is crazy because I feel like people talk about. Like nope. Blair White, right? Like people talk about like toxic trans femme people like Caitlyn Jenner, Blair White, and nobody knows that like there are like toxic trans masks on the internet and they're out here like just making fun of non-binary people.
Yeah, that's kind of all I really know of him. I know he's like a YouTube like vlogger that's like, I don't know, he's like in the whole like he's trans med true scum type constellation.
He's kind of like the original like the yeah, he is like the poster boy for like YouTube true scum, whatever that is. He's friends with Blair White. I don't consume his content as like a matter of course. But if I'm thinking about like who's like an annoying guy who's just going to mock other trans people on the internet, like Calvin Guerra is like
Well, it's like an interesting sort of like I suspect like I don't know. Yeah, I suspect that there's like. Right, obviously, like, I guess, like, the kind of, like, edginess of putting that in, like, a sort of contiguity that continues down the path of... Because I think he's he's the first one. He's, like, the first kind of, like, voiceover that we hear. That's not, like, you... That's not your...
That's not just like,
your character.
Because he shows
and then
up...
And then it's Andrew Tate and Elliot Rodger.
Yes.
As, like, this is the kind of... I guess this is the course of the rabbit hole.
Like turning this path from, well, it's a guy who's like shitty about being trans, but it is like a guy who is doing trans community stuff at the very least.
Right. Well, it's interesting, right? Like then, the kind of, I feel like the, I don't know. I think it is kind of like worthwhile, like sort of like putting, pointing out that is kind of like in contiguity with the kind of like
it's all part of the same sort of spectrum.
And that like we people are like people get really like into this idea that like sort of like the trans community is just like this sort of like island branched off from like how the rest of society does sex, that it's like so unthinkable to say that there's something like this going on, but like it's like pretty clearly there are contiguities between like that sort of like weird bizarre
we're not building our genders in a
Hobby,
you know, like I think there's, you know, and you know, I said earlier, you know, when I think about the kind of adult I want to be, I look at other trans people, but that's like very deliberate because I don't think it's possible for anybody to avoid taking in the cis version of whatever they are reaching towards. And I think I think rabbit hole is an exploration of how it is very, very easy if you have some stuff go wrong for you, or like if you feel alienated or you feel lonely in this way that a lot of trans people do, you're just sort of reaching out for the thing that is going to give you solace, and sometimes sometimes that's just a shitty guy.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes that's Andrew Tate or Calvin Guerra or like, you know, fucking incels, you know? I think, we can talk about it, but I have so many thoughts about like the sort of emotional crossover of inceldom and trans, like being trans.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, it's interesting. Cause right, I don't know if you saw, like I had a little like fight with someone on Twitter, yesterday.
I have not seen this.
Was it yesterday or 2 days ago? I can't remember. I'm like, I don't,
Tell me about this.
So, I, like, don't like arguing on Twitter, but I'm also, like, I don't know, people have just been, like, coming for me lately, and it's, like...
Yeah, sometimes people
yeah,
are wrong.
So, like, it, like, started with, like, I was just, like, thinking about, like, I was, like, I don't like that I'm as bothered by the phrase trans femme as I am, but I am.
Okay.
And I was just, like, thinking, I was, like, I said something, like, I'm going to install an app in my brain that just replaces any instance of trans femme with women and any instance of trans mask with men. Because the sort of, like, thing that I was, like, getting frustrated around seeing was people, like, saying things that, like, would almost, like, come off as, like, cartoonishly misogynistic, but because they're saying trans femmes instead of women, they, like, think that it's okay.
They're, like, trying to skirt around it because they're, like, including them.
Yeah, like, I'm like, this is, like, right? And then, like, some guy, like, got mad at me. I was, like, so, like, funny how quick it turned into him, like, literally, like, accusing me of hysteria. And I'm just, like...
That's so funny.
Or them. I think this is a them. I don't think this is a he. But
sure. It's, no, I mean, it's so funny that, like, you get a vagina and now you can be hysterical.
No, literally, because that's like another, I, like, have been making jokes about this for a while, how, like, I want them to bring back hysteria diagnoses so that I can find, so that I can find my womb, because I don't know where it went, and it's, like, really kind of an issue for me. Like, I want it, but it wandered off on me, so,
Yeah, you went on a train and it fell out of your
body. So I'm trying to find my womb. If any of you have seen it, I'll keep an eye out. Like, wanted my womb
with, like, a cutesy little drawing of uterus, you know,
reward,
like, putting a little smiley
reward
face
for its safe return. but yeah, so, like,
you gotta go to the lost and found.
So, like, But yeah, that was a fight I got in recently that feels germane to kind of, like, right, like, this idea that, like, there's, like no, it's sex is sex. Like, it's there's gonna be sort of, like, a contiguity between these things. You are not, like, you know, so like
you're not reinventing the wheel. I mean, like, you know, like, radical politics and, like, radical, like, gender politics aside, there is a certain degree to which you are not necessarily reinventing the wheel.
Yeah, well, and it's, right? Like, a lot of times, like, the complaints are, like, things where I'm, like, it seems like you are upset about something, but the thing that you're upset about doesn't actually have any bearing on, like, what you're complaining about, which is, like, that there's too many women here or something, which is, like, okay, like, if you don't like being around that many women, like, I don't know, like, go join, I don't know, go, like, hang out with some men. Like, you can do that.
Like,
there's nothing stopping you from, like,
yeah,
going and being around men. Like,
yeah. Like, you can go to a gym and you're, like, a basketball court or whatever. Like, you can, there are no shortage of places where there are men around.
Yeah. That's actually, fuck, now I'm sort of curious about, like, right, because you're doing all these sorts of, like, contact sports. I have to assume, are, like, the majority of, like, people that you train with, like, cis men, or are you, like, sort of, like, I don't know, like, I guess Chicago and Philly are two, like, fairly big cities. I wouldn't be surprised if there were, like, trans and queer groups that practice these sorts of things, or...
Yeah, yeah, so the gym that I was a part of in Chicago is, like, a very small community-based, like, leftist martial arts collective, And that is, like, primarily run by, like, queer and trans people of color, and was, like, a very unique and special space in that sense. Since I have moved out to Philly, it has, like, I have been training, especially, like, my Brazilian jiu-jitsu class, I've been training with mostly cis men, which has been interesting, because I do, you know, I do, because I came up in that other gym in Chicago, I try to be really deliberate about finding similar, like, community-based spaces that sort of, you know, share some values in terms of the kind of communities that I like to surround myself with. But there's also been something really nice, and I think that this is also something that kind of is not directly addressed in Rabbit Hole, but sort of informed how I thought about masculinity in Rabbit Hole, is I have been in more spaces now where I'm just sort of around cis men and, like, interacting with them as a man interacting with other men, and that has, like, taught me a lot of things about masculinity and being a man that I feel like I wouldn't have been able to pick up if I, like, only ever surrounded myself with other trans people. Does that
yeah,
make sense?
Yeah, so I...
Like, speaking of...
No, like, I want to hear, like, some of the specifics or, like, some things that you've noticed, because I'm very curious about this. And I think this is, like, a sort of thing, I don't know, that like, yeah, I feel like sometimes people in, like, the, you know, the queer community or whatever sort of, like, get, like, weirdly in their heads about, like, what cis men are like, and just, like, kind of have this, like, almost, like, cartoonish, like, villainous sort of, like, picture of them, and it's,
yeah.
like, there are, like, many bad cis men, there's many bad all sorts of people, but, like,
yeah,
yeah, right, it's, like, not, like, a sort of, like, they're not all, like, demons, like,
Right, yeah, I think, this is going to sound so stupid, but the thing that struck me the most about hanging out with cis men is the handshakes. like, especially in a gym context, men are always, like, going up to do little fist bumps, and the fucking, like, mental gymnastics of trying to figure out what this guy is going for so that I can respond in
kind
and not,
well,
like,
you like
up.
The A-frame bro hug, or, like...
Yeah, it's like, okay, I'm, like, you're going for my hand, is it, like, are you gonna grab it and we're gonna go in for a hug, or are you just gonna, like, fist bump, like, what is going on? I need to know beforehand. It, like, makes me so anxious. It's like the most anxiety-inducing part of being a man. It's like, this is like when Caitlyn Jenner was like, the hardest part of being a woman is figuring out what to wear, or whatever. but yeah, like, there are just... I think, but, like, more broadly, the way that men interact with each other, like, using, I think there's just, like, a series of shorthands, and I think women have this, too. Like, I think there are, like, specific ways that women talk amongst themselves, but me, up until very recently, being very clearly, like, you know, quote-unquote, not a man, and, like, only in the last, like, year or so starting to, like, pass consistently where, like, cis people do not realize that I am trans unless I tell them. Which is so stupid because I feel like I look really clockable. Anyway.
Well, but also, right, also we're all, like, way more clockable to ourselves. And, yeah,
to
trans
other.
People.
Yeah.
And, yeah, because...
yeah. But, yeah, being... yeah, being a man among cis men and sort of learning, yeah, the little ways that they talk to each other. There was, speaking of, you know, sort of, like, I don't know, like, going out and, like, taking in that knowledge from cis men and, like, bringing that back into trans communities, like, I have a friend who, like, very recently started T, like, very recently sort of, like, literally, like, 2 days ago came out, like, on social media, and I'm really, really proud of him, but he, I was hanging out with him a couple weeks ago. Again, he was like 2 weeks on TN or something at the time. And we were talking about transition stuff, and I was, like, giving all of my little unsolicited advice. and then we were about to leave, and, you know, we were, like, separating from each other. And I was like, yeah, I'll see you around, man. And he, like, sort of stopped, and he was like, okay, dude. Like, I, you know, but, like, calling each other, like, man as a filler or, like, you know, doing those little, like, verbal shorthands is, like, a thing that men do with each other, and I got to have this moment where, like, I got to do that, so, like, with this guy for the first time that he had experienced, and that was, like, very, very special for me. But, yeah, I think, I don't know, I'm sure there are, like, other things, right, there's just, like, there's something really nice about having worked so hard, like, within and on myself for so long to be able to accept myself as, like, okay, and I am a man, and that is fine, and it's actually okay, and I'm not turning into my dad, and to then, like, be in community with cis men who interact with me as a man is, like, so fucking satisfying, in a way that I never thought that it would be until I was doing it, like, out of necessity, because I needed to learn jiu-jitsu.
Hell yeah. Okay, no, that's really interesting. Yeah, and, yeah, I don't know, like, the sort of, right, it's interesting, because it feels like some of the, right, I've often, like, thought about, like, sort of a context of, like, the way that the sort of, like, I guess, like, there is, like, the kind of, like, you know, sort of, like, semi, right, Andrew Tate's, like, I think a really interesting and, like, weird kind of, like, example of this as, like, because, like, in, you know, some respect, he was, when I say, like, successful, I mean, like, in an evil way, right? In the sense that he was, like, a, like...
Yes, yes.
Like,
he had a very
committed,
successful, like sexual exploitation
empire. Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Like, committed a lot of evil stuff, but was able to do so, like, you know, until Greta Thunberg got him arrested.
Yeah, yes. I love her.
I remember when that happened, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like, honestly, Greta Thunberg, come to Philly and we will go dance. Like, I'll go party with you. I'll, like... Well, hang out.
She's so cool.
No,
I
think,
love her.
She's so fucking cool.
I want to have her on the podcast.
Yeah.
Greta, if you hear this, come on the
you
podcast,
should.
Please. Like, you're my hero.
I don't know. There's something that, like, specifically, I think, like, white men in heteropatriarchy can do, which is, be confident and the world, like, other people will shape themselves.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that is what,
but there's like a point
anyway,
where it falls apart,
also,
right? Which is that, like, he did get arrested, and I haven't really kept up with the legal case or whatever, but I assume
that's not
going to go well for him. Right.
It's not going to go well for him. And I think, yeah, there's an extent to which, like, the state apparatus doesn't give a shit. But if we're talking about, like, he's clearly doing all this fucked up shit and yet has a gigantic following of him, you know, like, there is, cause he was fully, like, unapologetic, in all respects, right? Like, there are so many videos where people will be, like, interviewing him and he'll just be saying the most insane misogynistic shit and no one will call him on it because they're all, like, A, they're all in the same sort of, like, manosphere circles.
Right.
Right? So they're all, like, coming from the same sort of intellectual and political place. A depraved political and intellectual place. But also, you know, if you're looking at Andrew Tate and he's, like, talking about all the fucking cars that he has and all the money that he has and all the success that he has, it's like, well, clearly something's going right for you, you know?
Right.
And I think that's really fucking dangerous.
Right, but it's, so I guess what I'm, like, thinking about is it's, like, interesting because there's, like, right, like, I was thinking about this, or I feel like there was, like, a kind of similar thing in, I had, like, a month where I had, like, 3 episodes that were all with trans women whose lives had been, like, really profoundly shaped by, like, evangelical Christianity.
Sure, yeah.
And, like, the sort of, like, weird, like, kind of, like, bizarro world, like, this is also, like, a thing that's, like, become, like, a weird, like, part of my life since, like, moving to the South, is that, like, it's just, like, a lot of the people down here are, like, raised in this sorts of context, and so, like, now I have, like, a lot of friends that were raised in this context that's, like, genuinely, like, alien to me. Like, I wasn't really raised religious. I was, like, my family, like, went to church, like, twice a year. It wasn't, like, a big part of my life. I went to vacation Bible school, but that was more just because it was, like, a place to put me rather than, like, a...
Fucking love VBS.
Than, like, a sort of, like... rather than, like, any sort of, like... Yeah, but so it's, like, right, but there's, like, a sort of sense in which, like, a lot of the kind of, like, especially, like, down here, like, a lot of the kind of, like, ideology of those environments is very much, like, contiguous with, like, general sort of, like, ideologies around, like, you know, like, children being, like, the property of their parents or whatever, but just, like, kind of, like, turned
right,
up to 11. And there is, like, genuinely, I think, like, something about that, like, that turn up to 11 that makes a lot of people say, stop, no, this is wrong. And I think that there, and I think it's interesting to think about, like, what the kind of mechanism is where people realize that, like, there is, like, a sort of, like, you're taking this too far, but we'll still remain committed to, like, the baseline assumptions that are there, right? Where it's, like, a lot of people that are, like, otherwise, like, would be these, like, kinds of, like, you know, that are, like, there's plenty of people that are, like, sort of, like, there are, like, these people that are, like, sort of, like, you know, yeah, like, these sort of, like, heteropatriarchal, like, men that would, like, look at something like Andrew Tate and be like, no, that's, like, disgusting and wrong and evil. But, you know, sort of, like, still remain committed
But they still hold the same...
Yeah, like, still remain committed to, like, a lot of, like, very, like, sort of similar... Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's... this sort of dovetails with me saying that, you know, this kind of heteropatriarchy is, to me, an extension of empire, right? Like, there is a degree to which... Yeah, so bringing it back to like current horrors, right? Like, you can have lots of people saying like, well, you know, bombing children with white phosphorus in Gaza is immoral and it is wrong and it is going too far, but Israel has a right to exist, right? And that is trying to challenge, you know, the part that goes too far, quote unquote, without challenging like the ideological underpinning that like by necessity leads to mm-hmm. that, right? And I think, you know, with Andrew Tate, yeah, like you're saying, he is a very extreme example of this, you know, entitled toxic masculinity. But it is fundamentally based on a set of beliefs that is not very different from what, you know, however much fucking percentage of the population believes, right? It is all rooted in the same structures of patriarchy that we are all living under. It is just an extreme example of that, and I think, yeah, there's something interesting to say, and I'm not really prepared to like articulate it fully right now, but there's something interesting about how, like, what are the sort of apparatuses that rein those things in, mm-hmm. right? Like why that moment for Andrew Tate and why that moment for him to finally be arrested and be held accountable and why not any moment before that, and like why not other people who are doing
right.
this, right?
Right.
Yeah. I think for Andrew Tate he got too loud about the crimes that he
Yeah, was, I mean yeah, you know? it was a lot of it was a lot.
Yeah. But if you, yeah, it's there's a certain degree to which it's like, oh well, you can do the bad things, like you can do the going too far things, but don't fucking talk yeah. about it, you know?
Yeah. No. Exactly.
Anyway,
yeah.
I got
well,
heavy
no.
for a minute.
yeah. Oh my god. But okay. Well, so like. Yeah, and no, it's interesting, I think, to sort of, like, I mean, I guess that's maybe, you know, sort of, like, that's what Rabbit Hole is, both, like, the concept and then also, like, your specific art piece is, like, that, yeah, it really is actually, like, dangerous to entertain, like, these kinds of, like, small-scale things, or to, like, sort of, like, yeah, to do this kind of, mm-hmm. yeah, to do this sort of stuff, like, without the, you know, yeah, because... Yeah.
Without thinking critically about it and without the counterbalance of like interacting with people who aren't in that world. Yeah. You know, and I don't I sort of mentioned this earlier, but I think specifically the last video in this series and specifically the bit where I bring in Elliot Rodger, like it is the most extreme, like scary version of that. I was really proud of that piece. I like scared myself when I was making it. I was like, this is gonna be so fucking good. I mean, for people who haven't seen it, the last video in this series is, it's by far the longest. It's like 3.5 minutes long, and it is, it's an edited down version of the infamous video of Elliot Rodger taken, the day before he committed the, Isla Vista massacre, where he's like sitting in a car and talking about, what he's going to do. I cut it down. This is just like a fun fact is, I edited out all of the explicit references to violence.
Oh,
yeah. So
that was interesting.
Get,
I noticed
yeah,
that. Yeah.
So what you get in the video is, so what you get in the video is just him talking about how women have never loved him and he deserves sex and he deserves love. And it's the video is, me slamming a Five Guys burger while I fucking the camera. And it's like, and it's like interspersed with these like little flashes of you should watch the video if you haven't already.
It's good.
I think there's so much to be said about like incel culture and the kinds of experiences that lead to something like what Elliot Rodger did. They don't start out, I'm going to commit violence against women, right? They start out, I am lonely. And I think so much of what, like, that whole, like, manosphere is like, guys who, because they are raised in this culture where, like, men are not really allowed to talk about their feelings and men are not really encouraged to find, like, a strong emotional community, they don't really know what to do when they have these feelings of like loneliness and alienation. And they're like, I want to be having interactions with other people that are fulfilling to me in, like, you know, with friendships and sexuality and romantic, whatever it is. But I just don't know how to do that. And everything I've been trying hasn't been working. And so, like, what do I do now? And you know, it is so easy to find, you know, online cultures, like, you know, fucking, you know, like incel forums on Reddit or what the fuck ever. And to be like, to sublimate those feelings of alienation and loneliness into, it's actually not my fault and it's nothing I've been doing. It's that, you know, women are this way, mm-hmm. and women don't love me, and it's their fault, right? Like, it's so easy to put the blame on somebody else, right? We do it all the time. And I think there's something really interesting for me in, you know, like we've been talking about how, like, you know, going too far in, like, the violent aspect of it. But I think for me, when I was making Rabbit Hole, I just kept thinking about how close that is to, you know, especially, like, me as a trans person being, like, feeling mm-hmm. alienated from my peers, right? And, like, feeling lonely and being, like, there's a reason that Calvin Guerra is like that, you know? I think I mean, I don't know the guy personally. but I don't think you end up in a place where you just, express vitriol towards random fucking strangers on the internet without it coming from a place of, like, well, I need validation in this way, and this is the way that I found to do that.
No, like, all the times I've been, like, meanest to strangers on the internet have been because I've been feeling very bad about myself. Like, I'll say that. Like, I've tried to, like, sort of grow, and, like, it's frustrating now when people are, like, coming at me over, like, you know, sort of, like, theoretic, like, yeah, like, ran- yeah, like,
like, random
what
bullshit.
I would say, like, consistent feminist politics, whatever.
sure, yeah. Sorry.
But, like, yeah, because I'm, like, I don't want to, like, be, like, the kind of, like, I, because I'm, like, okay, like, I could, like, be, like, righteously angry or whatever, and I'm, like, no, I'm just gonna, like, try to, like, explain my perspective, explain my points, like, clearly, and then, like, when I've said, like, enough that I feel like we've reached a point of diminishing returns, I'm just gonna stop. Like, I'm not gonna talk about it anymore, I'm not gonna, like, fight about this anymore, I'm just gonna say, like, here's why, like, some fucking, like, Taylor Swift stan is fighting with me today about, like, sex. And, like...
Sure.
Like sort of, like, philosophy of science and sex, and I'm like, okay, I can, like, you know, sort of, like, I can make my points, and then I'm not gonna get mad about this. I'm just gonna log off.
Yeah. It's really, sometimes it is just a matter of touching grass. Like, I know people get annoyed by the phrase, but I think so many people need to go outside and need to, like, learn how to talk to another human being. Like, when I was... Sorry, bringing it back to Elliot Rodger, I think about this fucking guy so much. When I was prepping to make Rabbit Hole, I read his entire manifesto. And it is insanely boring. I don't recommend it, even if you are, like me, have your brain poisoned and you like this shit.
You're curious,
not like
yeah.
it, but, you know, like, are fascinated by this shit. I don't recommend it. It's insanely boring. It's like 140 pages of him just, like, recounting every memory he's ever had, which, like, turns out his life is not that interesting. But there are so many moments where he will, you know, be aware that he wants to make more friends, and be aware that he wants to especially, like, interact with women. And his way of doing that is he will go to a coffee shop or something, and he will sit down and he will not speak to anyone and, like, wait for people to talk to him for some reason, right? And then he'll be disappointed by that experience because he hasn't actually done anything. And he'll talk about, like, well, it's another fucking disappointment because all these women are fucking these other guys, right? And it just becomes, it's there's, like, a mental block there, and it's, like, he's just not aware of the things that he has to do. Or he, you know, people keep trying to tell him, but he's just so far down this road of, like, everything that goes wrong for him and every little disappointment that he has is women's fault, and it's not anything that he's doing wrong. And that's why it's so fucking important to just, like, go outside and touch grass and, like, actually interact with people who are different from you. Because you, like... Yeah, like, these guys just, like, need to be broken out of the cycle of like, sitting back and waiting for the world to deliver something to them that it's just not going to do.
No,
sorry,
no,
I'm, like, rambling a whole bunch about this
true.
Fucking guy.
It's just, yeah, like, I don't know, I'm thinking a lot about, yeah, that's...
Yeah.
entirely contiguous with, yeah, it's, oh, where was I? Where I had a point I wanted to jump in on there. Oh, yeah, well, I'm thinking a lot about the sort of, like, also, right, like, the kind of, one, like, sort of, like, gay guy communities and how they,
yeah,
their sort of, like, sociality. And not to say that, like, the sort of, like, loneliness or, like, depression or whatever doesn't really, like, you know, persist there. But I think it's, like, kind of, it does have this, like, mm-hmm. sort of, like, completely different environment because of, like, for, like, a lot of reasons, I think, like, for, like, you know, sort of, like, oh, God, I don't even know. Like, there's, like, I guess, like, a sort of, like, fluidity between, like, homosociality and, like, sexuality, right? Because, like, the people that you would have, like, these kinds
yeah.
of, like, relationships, like, you can be friends with the people that you're fucking. That's, like, a weird thing for, like, heterosexuals,
yeah.
I feel, right? Is that they're, like,
it
not
is.
Friends. They're, like, I mean, the, like...
But then it turns into the thing where, like, straight people will be like,
yeah.
oh, guys and girls can't be friends, right? Especially, that's the thing, like, specifically straight men will be like, oh, guys and girls can't be friends. Because they get it into their head that, like, if, like, it's either we're
right.
friends or we're fucking, you know? And it's like, well, if you're a pretty woman, then I want to fuck you. And if you're not a pretty
right.
woman, why would I want to talk to you, right? Like,
and
that's
that
a thing
actually,
that guys get in their heads. So
yeah,
that's, like,
no,
and that's
like
straight culture.
Actually,
but
like, the sort
continue.
Of, like, the kind of, like, cishet or, like, even, like, cis bi, but, like, mostly socially het, like, men that I've known that are, like, you know, sort of, like,
right.
the, like, most normal, like, nicest people, they've all been people that have, like, a lot of female friends. And, like, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, it is just, like, a thing to be normal about. Yeah.
mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it, like, talking about trans communities in that sense, like, I think a big part of the... I think a huge part of the reason that I... as a trans mask have, like, come up and been able to be normal as I've transitioned is by being friends
yeah.
with a lot of trans women. And I think especially, like, I you know, I have been in spaces where it's just, like, a bunch of trans guys who
mm-hmm.
only talk to each other. And it, I, like, I can just see that, like, the politics are
yeah,
fucked.
This has come up on the show before. You're not the first trans guy to come on here and be like, you guys need to be friends with women. But it's true.
Yeah, like... I can't emphasize it enough.
I mean, I don't know. I'm a woman, so maybe I shouldn't say it. But no.
oh no, you can fully tell
yeah,
them to be friends
no,
with women. It's fine.
I love my male friends of both cis and trans variety. I really do. It's like,
yeah,
I don't know. Those friendships are really important to me. It's really cool.
Yeah. But yeah, there is something, and I think going back to, like, queer community and the sort of, like, hookup culture, like, yeah, blurring the lines aspect of it, I think there is a way in which that sort of
mm-hmm.
acts as a release valve, you know? It's like, well, you don't have to put so much pressure on, like, finding your romantic relationship or whatever, because I think that's another, like, sort of pit that guys fall into is, like, well... If I'm not, like, in a relationship with a woman that I love and who loves me and will, like, suck my dick and who I'm gonna marry, like,
mm-hmm.
I can't be happy, right? And I think there's so much that gets released when it's like, no, you can just, like,
yeah.
have sex and also be normal and, like, not make this the whole focus.
Yeah, I think that is, like, right, because it's, like, in what sense does it make sense to talk about, like, being involuntarily celibate when you have the option to go on Grindr? Like, it's not going to be, like, and, like, that's, I think, like, a big
yeah.
kind of, like, sort of, like, component of, like, the kind of the thing that's going on with, like, this sort of, right? It's not, it's,
mm-hmm.
well, in a, yeah, because it's not about the thing that they say it's about, right? It's not actually about, like, just wanting sex or
right.
just wanting, like, and I think, like, that's something that the way that you edited the, you know, Elliot Rodger thing, I think it comes out a lot that it's, like, about, like, a particular sort of, like, entitled relationship. Like, it's about wanting this kind of, like he says, like, adoration.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, such a creepy thing to demand from another person.
Yeah.
Like...
yeah, it's never about what he can offer a woman. It is about what a woman can do for him, because a
yeah.
woman becomes property, right? And, yeah, again, it's all, like... It's sort of, like, I don't know. We're butting up again against, like, the colonization aspect of patriarchy, right? It's like, well, women exist to be... Yeah, to provide adoration mm-hmm. and sex to men. And that, yeah, at a fundamental level, it's like, well, that's why women don't want to talk to you, because you're not yeah. fucking treating them like a person. Yeah, and you're right. You're right. It's not about having a relationship, because fundamentally what he wants is not a relationship. What he wants is like a person to stick his dick into.
Well, a person that will sort of like have this particular sort of like pathetic, like yeah,
have this subservient yeah, this, relationship like, to yeah, him. Yeah,
like
mm-hmm.
so that's which is I think like that's like yeah. a thing that like I think people are so like afraid to say it, because that is like so much more like nakedly misogynistic, right? Like that's why like even in like the kind mm-hmm. of like discourse around this stuff, it often gets reduced to like, oh, it's about sex, it's about wanting to get laid. It's like, no, it's about like it's about wanting this like this thing
yeah.
that is like creepy yeah. like emotionally.
And I think
like,
I think
it's not like yeah.
Yeah. And there is a huge degree to which like incel culture has sort of built itself around these rationalizations and this like shared vocabulary around specifically
right.
sex, right? As a way of sort of reducing as a way of reducing women to that, because I think that is also because I think people who fall prey to this stuff are also not ready to think about the things that they are actually looking
yeah,
for.
Yeah, no, that's
life. You know, I don't think somebody who turns to incel stuff is ready to deal with the fact that it's like, oh, I just have, like, a loneliness, and also I need to learn how to interact
right,
with people.
Right, because it's vulnerable, right? Like, it's, like, saying, like, oh, I'm lonely and
yeah.
I want, like, a friend is, like, I think people, like, think that's, like, pathetic or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, that's, like, the opposite of pathetic. That's, like, a thing to... That's, like, an extremely
yeah.
common human want. And, like... If you're struggling with that, like, you know,
yeah.
it's
or even
yeah,
expanding
that is something
it.
That is, like, you know, worthy of, like, sympathy, but, you know, your other uglinesses
mm-hmm.
can wear that sympathy thin pretty quickly if you're...
Yeah, or even, I think for Elliot Rodger, you know, again, I didn't fucking know the guy, but, like, I read his manifesto, I spent a lot of time thinking about it. I think... For him, there's an aspect of it that's not even about an interpersonal relationship. I think it's just, like, a self-respect
mm-hmm.
thing for a lot of these guys, you know? I think it's, like, well, you haven't really... Like, he like, kept, like, trying to do college and kept, like, quitting his classes and, like, you know, like, I think there's a degree to which it's, like, well, I want a woman to adore me because I want to feel worthy
mm-hmm.
of adoration, you know? And I don't think that's wrong. I don't think it's wrong for people to want to, like, be respected and loved. But that's a thing that you gotta do
yeah.
for yourself, you know? And I also think that's, like, another thing that crosses over with trans people a lot, you know? I think again, like, people like Calvin Guerra, like, people who get weird about other trans people often are doing it from a place of personal
yeah.
insecurity.
Yeah. yeah.
We're
going
through a lot here.
But it's good. It's been good. It's a lot.
Yeah, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I don't know. Yeah, it's I feel like we've been going for like how long? We've been going for a while. Yeah, hour and a half. We're
like
running
half,
up on.
Yeah.
I feel like kind of getting to the yeah the conclusion of all this. But I don't know. Like, what are your kind of final thoughts?
Yeah.
On?
Yeah. On all of this. I mean, like I am really, I don't know, this is just, like, general thoughts about, like, the piece. I've been really grateful for, like, people like you who have, like, engaged with Rabbit Hole, because I fully understood when I was making it that it was a thing for me that was really about, like, my special interests and is not for everybody. And it's not for everybody, because not everybody wants to think about this shit. And not everybody wants to, like, watch a 3-minute-long video, like, listening to
yeah, it was spooky.
Right?
That was, like,
it's,
like I was
that's
like,
a very
okay,
heavy
I,
thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the people who have engaged with it and have seen it and have talked to me about it have all, like, come to it in good faith in a way that I'm really, really grateful for, and I'm very happy to exist, you know, within communities that will take in this, like, super toxic thing that I made and understand that it is, like, understand where it's coming from politically. Like, I think that's something that I'm really proud of with the work, that comes across. If you are, I mean, if anybody is interested in more about this stuff, like, way back in the day, like 2018, I want to say, ContraPoints had a video about incels mm-hmm. that's really, really good. And talks about a lot about, you know, it's a trans woman talking about incels, so it sort of hits on a lot of the same points. And I think her work is sort of a touchstone for me when I'm making stuff, so I really recommend that. Also, that Michael Kimmel book I recommended, Angry White Men, is just a very good reference if you're talking about sort of like American white heteropatriarchy and aggrieved entitlement. Thank you, Julie, for having me on.
Before we finish, let me
talk about this.
I want to ask you, have you seen the Trans Maxine Manifesto? Oh my goodness.
No.
Oh my fucking God. Okay.
I know what transmaxing is.
Well, so what do you know of it, and then I'll explain what the manifesto is. Because I think that the term kind of exists separately from the manifesto, or has like a couple different uses.
Yeah. So I've always heard it as tranny maxing. it is a sort of subset of incel culture. That's just, it's like the most nakedly like, oh, I'm an incel, but I just need to be a woman. My understanding of it is, it is a kind of incel who has decided that the only way they are going to get sex is by transitioning. And then they're like ostensibly like, you know, quote unquote guys who do this as a way of dealing with incel.
That is basically what the manifesto is. I think my read on it is that, like, that person is, like, very kind of nakedly just, like, a trans woman with, like, the most sort of, like...
Yeah.
Poisoned mind. There's moments in it where I'm like, I'm like, girl, just love yourself a little bit. Like,
Yeah, and I think that is, like, you know, that's another way that these two worlds sort of cross over with each other, right? It's like, I don't think it's a super uncommon thing for somebody to fall into inceldom when it's like, you just have to transition. It's fucking fascinating. I'll have to look at the manifesto if you want to send it to me.
It's gotten completely insane. The, like, most recent update that I've read, because there have been, like, I think, like, it's on, like, version 9 or something by now, ends with this, like, argument mm-hmm. for, like, that we need to genetically re-engineer the human race to, like, get rid of men and just create like a species of like women and hermaphrodites.
It's the inverse of what Janice Raymond was scared about when she wrote The Transsexual Empire.
So crazy.
Yeah.
It's like genuinely.
That's so
evil,
fucking crazy.
But, like,
I keep saying this. This is like how I describe my work, but like I love a fucked up guy.
I wanna try to get her on the podcast. But I'm a little concerned. I feel like that's like a little bit like, I don't know, ethically dicey. I'm like, should I be encouraging this person and or spreading their?
I mean, would that count as like trying to crack somebody else's egg?
Yeah,
because you're not supposed to do that.
I don't know. It's complicated.
Such cases. It's complicated. I'll read the shit out of that manifesto. That's like exactly up my alley.
Congrats on Rabbit Hole. Congrats on joining the ranks of gay guys making art that involves them jerking off.
Yeah, thank you. I had an in-person screening that like the premiere of this. A friend had a birthday party that was just like, everybody bring your art and we're gonna show everybody's art off, which was very sweet, but he let me screen it there, and I prefaced the screening with like, oh, there are these content warnings that like they'll show up at the beginning of the specific clips, and I mentioned like the needle stuff and then the audio of a mass murderer at the end, and I forgot to talk about jerking off on camera for a couple minutes. That part comes on in the room, and I see everybody like sort of like a couple people are like start looking at their phones. I'm like, yeah, okay, like I get it. And then the part ends, and we're like in sort of like a buffer zone until the next part starts, and I just go, there's also that. So yeah, there is some very sexy footage of me jerking off on camera, if that's like if that sweetens the pot for anybody listening.
Like I said, you're joining the venerable pantheon of gay guys that have made art.
Yeah, It's that pantheon, and then it's also the pantheon of trans people making art who just make a video of themselves doing their hormones.
Another classic, that's awesome.
Thank you for letting me talk about it, and thank you for letting me like invite myself onto your podcast to talk about it, because I was like, oh, this seems like something Jillian would be interested
in.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you to the audience for listening in. Thank you to Cody for sharing their life, their political they-them-hood with us. And yeah, you can support the show on Patreon.
Thank you.
All the sort of usual stuff. Our music, the intro and outro, is by Lynn July. You can listen to more of her music down at her Bandcamp. I think it's a Bandcamp link in the show description. And watch Rabbit Hole if you somehow got through all this without going and looking it up, because it's cool.
Watch Rabbit Hole, hell yeah.
All right, we can stop there.